Merci. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for you to settle down. Okay? Yes. So make sure you're seated somewhere. You're ready to receive grace, to receive the word, to receive strength, to receive ability. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Your amen is not as loud as I think it can be. Is that your loudest amen? Hallelujah. Listen, tonight you must catch something. Shake your neighbor and say, catch something. You must catch something. You must receive something. You must be blessed by something. You must be strengthened. You must catch something. Listen, make up your mind that you're not going to live here the same. Don't just come for a meeting and go home. Yeah. Because what we have is that grace has visited us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Tonight, we have a very special woman of God. Very special. Very special. Very, very special woman of God. Yeah. Yeah. And first of all, I want us to acknowledge our bishop, our father in the Lord. Did you love the bishop? Our Father, hallelujah. Let's celebrate Him one more time. Let's celebrate our Father one more time. Mommy is around because Bishop made it possible. So we are so grateful to the Bishop and we honor him. Hallelujah. Amen. It means that Bishop is thinking about you. Bishop wants you to get better. Hallelujah. Our mommy... I don't know how to describe her. Yes, our mommy is a very special woman of God. The Lighthouse Churches in the North was started by her and her husband. Can you imagine? Yes. Yes. She's not only a teacher, but she's a doer of the word. Hallelujah. And for so many years, she has been preaching the word. Sometimes I see her pictures from Kenya, pictures from all over. Hallelujah. From country to country, town to town, bringing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And tonight, it's our privilege and our honor to receive Episcopal sister. Oh, I don't think you're excited. Let's try that again. I said tonight is our...
Hello. Wow, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. Amen. Do your hands belong to you? If they do, put your hands together for Jesus. Hey. Amen and amen. I know that Pastor Wisdom has already... encouraged us to appreciate Bishop Isaac Oti, but we cannot do it too much. I said we cannot do it too much. You know, some of you are clapping as though at times, I wish that God would give us a glimpse of how our lives would have been without our set man of God. Yeah. You see, like right now, you are very decent. Tell your neighbor, I'm very decent. You are so nice looking. I mean, you are so well put together that you don't know what you would have been if Bishop Ike had not come your way, if this church had not been here. Hey, hallelujah. And so you want to give honor to whom honor is due and put your hands together for your Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I believe that the Lord is really taking him places. Hallelujah. All you need to do is to hang on to his coat. That's all. Look, if an elephant, the story is told of an elephant that was crossing the river. And an ant was sitting on the back of the elephant. When they got to the other side of the river, the ant said, I am the elephant. We crossed. We crossed over. Do you understand? He only sat there. But it's true. He also crossed over. So when you hold onto the coattails of your man of God, and the Lord is taking him places, he ends up taking you places also. Salute your man of God one more time. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And then I want you to remember, we are here because of Bishop Dag. Oh, yes. I met Bishop Oti because of Bishop Dag, because of the work he'd asked us to do. And what he is doing, not only in our nation but around the world, is affecting the body of Christ. And so I'm going to ask you to salute my father and your grandfather, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. Oh, put your hands together properly. Add a shout. Hallelujah. And before you take your seat, remember that if Pastor Wisdom had not been here, hey, if you had not been here, hey, 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 your story would not have been a good story. Come on, put your hands together for Pastor Wisdom. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it's such a blessing to be here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all the way to Ho. Thank you for keeping us in this past year, that we've come back to meet our brethren looking good and strong. Indeed, it's a blessing to know you, Lord, and we don't take it for granted. Thank you for tonight and for Sunday this weekend. I pray that your purposes will be fulfilled. I pray that because of tonight, we will find more strength to continue on the path that you have set us. Spirit of God, have your way. May I just be a vessel in your hands. And to you indeed be all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow, it's a blessing to meet so many of you around when campuses are on holiday and all of that. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. And you shouldn't see it as a bother. Yeah, so don't see it as a bother. Yeah. You see, sometimes when we get used to something, we don't know how we would have been without it. And I know people who have made the risk and they have left church. And the story is not good. Yeah, the story is not good. So tell your neighbor, if you are here, be here. Yeah, tell the neighbor on the other side, don't go away. Beautiful. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And I'm happy to see that you are still moving on and to see that the church is moving to another level, level after level. Your pastor is also has moved to another level. The last time I saw him, he was a man without a wife. He was walking alone. But he has since the last time I saw him, the favor of God has come upon him, because the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. So since the last time I saw him, I know that favor has come his way. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And tell your neighbor that your day is coming and coming soon. You see, when I'm saying, some of you are not confessing it. Yo, me, I won't say anything. I won't say anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, tonight, it's not going to be a very long night, but I have to say that it's a very important night. And I believe that when we come around each year, the Lord just gives one something to come and say that is necessary for you to hear. Anytime the Lord sends you a visitor, you should receive the visitor. Are you in the house? when you read through the Bible, you see some very remarkable visits. Yeah. Visits that changed people's lives. Visits that sorted people out. I mean, all kinds of visits. Are you there?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus just walked into Peter's home. His mother-in-law was sick. There was a healing right there. Yeah. So many times when God wants to impact us, he sends us a visitor, somebody who's not going to be there all the time, but the person comes to do something or to add something. Are you there? So this is like a pot of stew that Bishop Ike is cooking. Are you there? And he has just sent us with a certain ingredient that's needed, yeah, to just come and add, yeah. A certain spice, a certain something. When you add it, then the food becomes... Hello, are you in the house? I was preaching in a certain country that doesn't believe in adding salt. Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen it before. They warned me, but I thought it was a joke. Yeah, until I got there, they actually cook without salt. And then the salt is provided at the table. So, Ghanaian like me, I don't know how to add salt to my food after it is cooked. Oh, you don't get me. Throughout my stay, I've either added too little or too much. I never got it right. I never got it right. So in the end, I decided that there was only one type of food I was going to eat throughout my stay there. And the reason was because that particular one, you can eat it how it is. Yeah. Are you there? So when a certain spice is brought to you, it can make all the difference to how you eat the food or how you what you are able to make of it. Amen. Are you in the church? Yeah. So I want you to see us as coming with just an ingredient that God is putting in. Amen. Hallelujah. And this year, the message that I felt that God had placed on my heart was a continuation of what Bishop Dag was teaching in GTWC and from this book, Enlargement Secrets. Are you there? Some of you have bought the Macarius, but you have not opened it yet. But when you open it, you will find it there. And I believe that the reason for us talking about enlargement is that this is one church that is enlarging. Are you here? Yeah. As a whole, Love Economy is enlarging. And that when you come down to the branches are enlarging. And when you come to the individuals are also enlarging. Are you there? So I don't think you are how you were 2 years ago. Some of you 2 years ago, you were not even a believer. 2 years ago. You just think back and see. Yeah. Or you were asked your neighbor, what type of believer were you? Were you some way or... Hey. Some of you, if we go and look in the chronicles of history... 2 years ago, you were very some way. Very some way. Are you there? So you can see that there's enlargement going on at all levels. Yeah. The whole denomination of a church, the whole church itself, but then also the individual churches are also enlarging. Are you there? Then the human beings too. I've already told you about your pastor's enlargement. Some of you, maybe last year you were students, right now you are workers. It's a form of enlargement. Yeah. Maybe you were a shepherd of 2 people, now you are a shepherd of 5 people. So, Charlie, there's enlargement. Are you in the church? And that is why I think that this message is important for a time like this. Hallelujah. Now, the message in this book is actually based on the story of Joshua. The book of Joshua, yes. And that was one guy who really enlarged. I mean, when we meet Joshua, he is following Moses and he's serving Moses. Those of you who have been called to serve and you run away, you've done yourself. No. Yeah, the best door of expansion is through service. Yeah. Are you in the house? Yeah. And you will see that most people that you know who are anointed were servants. They served somebody, and then as they served, they stepped into something else. Are you with me? And Joshua was one such person. And he's not the only one. Several examples in the Bible. Are you in the church or you have gone home? Have you gone home already? Or we should close? Hey, yeah, but yeah, there's no more time now. It's 2 years. Hey, you guys are wild. Hallelujah. But then we see this guy who used to be a servant of Moses. We suddenly see him being the one in charge. The Lord has brought Moses. Moses has brought them out of captivity. It's time for him to go. He's left. And suddenly, Joshua is the one who is going to lead them all the way to take land after land, area after area, and settle in the promised land. What a commission. Are you in the house? What a commission. And I just want to say, just aside, that as you are walking in the house, you have no idea what God is going to do with you a few years from now. Yeah, you have no idea at all. Yeah. So you may be serving and you may be carrying things and you may be sweating. Don't despise it. It is an important part of your upbringing. Yeah. It's a very important part. It's just like in our natural lives. If you grow up in a home where they never allow you to do anything, your uselessness is soon apparent. Yeah. You'll soon be very embarrassed somewhere. But if you are in a home where you are taught things, none of us are from perfect homes. We're all from imperfect homes. But if you are in a home where, an attempt is made to teach you something, if you are a proper child, a time comes when you are grateful. You're grateful for the things you learned because you suddenly see that it gave you something upon which you could stand and then catapult further. Hallelujah. And so this is what we learn, and the book of Joshua is just full of so many things. So this is what Enlargement Secrets is all about. So I've been talking about this in all the churches, different angles of the message, different lessons to pick out, and I hope that you will take the opportunity to listen to whatever we've shared in the different branches. Amen. But there's a message, a particular message for this church. I always believe God that he will say something about where each church is. Because much as we belong, you belong to the same denomination, the churches are also different. At different levels of progress, at different levels, different things. Oh, every church faces demons, but the demons are of different types. Are you in the house? Yes. Depending on where you are. I went to visit one of my sons somewhere in Madagascar, and as we passed, then he said, "Mommy, have you seen those people over there?" I said, "What is that?" "Hey, they apparently have a culture where they exhume dead bodies." Yeah. So your relative who died, then you go and exhume him about a year after, and then they have a parade, and then they redress the corpse, and there's a whole something. Yes, very some way. And then they rebury it. And I remember when I looked, I said, "This is a different basket of demons. This one, dear, we don't have it here. We are free of this one. We have another group, but it's not this type." Hey! Please ask your neighbor, have you been excavating your relatives? And you know, we think they are some way, but I'm sure if they were here, they will also think some of the things we do are very some way. Yeah, it's true. But I'm just saying this to say that, to just give you an idea of how we are up against different things. Amen. And so tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you something. Tell your neighbor something. Enlarge into war mode. Enlarge into war mode. And I'll explain. Enlarge into war mode. It's very important for us to know where we are at. Because if in time of war, you adopt a stance for peace, your enemy will beat you. You'll be beaten seriously. Yes, you'll be beaten seriously. If we look at the world today, you can see that. You see, you may not see it on the surface, but the nations have braced for war. Are you there? You see, because you only read or you only listen to which FM? I don't want to mention so that they'll say that I've insulted, but you only listen to the local FM that is telling you that somebody fell into the gutter outside And that's telling you who has. So maybe you are not aware. But there are two major wars right now that have captured the world. Yeah. As for what, there are wars everywhere. Even in Ghana, there are wars you don't know about. Yes. Yes. There's been a war that has raged in Ghana for almost 2 years. In the Boko East. Yes. Have you seen that? You don't know anything. Are you there? But right now, the whole world is watching because they know that on the one side, Russia, Ukraine can blow up. And on the other side, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon can also blow up. And so, if Russia enters, or if US enters, so all of them, everybody has braced. Everybody has braced. Everybody has gone to check our weapons. Are they working? The ones we hit over here, remove them and polish. Hey, test this. Yeah. You don't see it. You don't see it. But war mode. Why? Because there was a time when there was a war that they were not in war mode and they were beaten well. Yeah. Are you there? When the Second World War started, Europe was asleep. Europe was asleep. The day that Hitler said, "I'm marching into Poland," he was coming with tanks. They were coming with horses. 2 weeks, it was over. Do you understand when I say it's over? It means that every region, every area, everything was under full control of the Germans in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. They were not ready. They were in peace mode. They were in total peace mode, and their neighbor was in war mode. So they didn't even have, that's why I said, you see, I said a tank and a horse. That's the word. It's a mismatch. It's not a war. Are you seeing it? So when it is wartime, much as you don't want to go to war, they don't want to go to war. As we are here, the negotiations that are going on at every level to try to prevent a war, very wild. Are you getting it? So they are saying, yeah, these people are trying to fight. They are doing whatever. But there's negotiation. We don't want to go to war. But they are ready. But they are ready. Are you there?
Yes.
I want you to ask your neighbor, are you ready for a war? And you know that in the church, when we speak about war, we're not talking about a physical war. We're talking about a spiritual war. And I wonder if you know that there's a reason why you should adopt a war mode. And that's what I've come to talk to you about tonight. Amen. Are you there? You see, you may not see it directly, but your church has engaged into a war. And you don't see it directly because you come here every Sunday and it is peaceful. Or it's not peaceful. And you sing and you dance and generally enjoy the service and you go home. But on the day that you went to break a ground, and you said, we are going to build. That day, you engaged a war. That day. I can see that you didn't know. Building a church is a declaration of war in the heavenlies. Turn your Bible with me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The day you break the ground that you are building the church, the gates of hell encamp against it. It doesn't encamp anywhere. It encamps at the gate of a church. Are you there? You can say, you see, already the enemy is not happy. He can see that there's a church here. But he also knows that, you see, when you are renting a church, he knows that he doesn't have to do too much. He doesn't have to do much work. Because if your landlord wakes up and shakes himself as he recently shook himself, that's it. Yeah, they'll just push you out and that's it. So for as long as a church is in a rented place, it is temporary. It's temporary. For as long as you are renting, you are temporary. The day that you build, the day that you break ground that you are building, what you are saying is that I am no longer a temporary enemy that I can wish away, but I have become permanent. Are you in the church? So as you are building, you need to know that you have declared war. And you need to know that the enemy has not mistaken it. You may not have been aware, but that's why we are here today. Are you in the church? When you don't have a building, anything can finish the church. Yes. Oh, some churches after COVID, they never came back. Because they sent a word around that all classrooms cannot be used. That's it. So if you didn't have some land somewhere, some half building somewhere, a lot of churches just disappeared from the earth. That was the end of it. Are you there? Yeah. Other churches have ended because somebody has risen up and just said, that's it. Push your neighbor and say, hey, I didn't know we were at war. Yeah, so you need to know that those things are a signal. And you see, you may be thinking that it's just physical, but it's important for you to know that physical things still can, there is a link from the physical to the supernatural and from the supernatural to the physical. It's a link. It's invisible. We cannot describe it for you, but it's there. Yeah. So I can look at you and you are in church and you are physically sleeping. But the physical sleep can also be a sign of your spiritual sleep. Yeah. It's not necessarily so for everybody. I'm just saying for somebody, it can be a sign of your apathy. So it just looks like physical sleepiness. Are you there? And there are some people, as soon as they sit, they sleep. And they think it's physical. It's not. It is spiritual. And they will do well to deal with it. Yeah. They'll do well to deal with it. Usually, in a setting, they are the people who are not doing well. And even if you think you are doing well, you would have done better if you didn't have that. If you didn't have that thing there. Are you in the church? I once worked with a colleague. Oh, my friend. I mean, he's passed away now. But he wanted to go and do his PhD. And we were working as researchers. He hadn't yet done it. Then I went to do a project on something, and this project was funded from Europe. And as part of the package was the funding for a PhD. So I spoke to the donors, and I said, well, I don't need it because I have my PhD already. But I have a colleague who would need it. Now, on the day when the head of project, who was from there, somewhere there, he came to the office and we had a meeting and all that. Now, this colleague of mine was like some people here. When you sit down, you sleep. We used to just tease him about it at work. But any meeting that we had, I mean, few minutes and he'll be asleep. Ask your neighbor, are they describing you? So, as usual, when we had the meeting with the donor, we're all there. And he did his sleeping demonstration. Yeah. On the last day of the meeting, I was asking this project director that, but you've not brought up this issue with the PhD. And the guy said, this guy, I don't think we want him on our. That's it. That's it, cry. Opportunity wasted. Yeah. Opportunity wasted. But you see, it was a way of keeping that guy behind. And you would have thought that it's just, physical sleep. I don't know why I sleep. He always said he didn't know why. So if you are here, come and ask your pastor to pray and deliver you. Yes. Anyway, so we were on physical things that means your pastor says fight the sleep. That's why you should fight it. You don't know what it means. Amen. And I'm saying to you that as you have gone to break ground somewhere, that you are building a physical building, you have sent a missile into the heavenlies. And the missile has made contact. And they have said, hey, the people have changed their stance. They were a temporary church. We didn't have to do much. But now, they are planned to become permanent. So I came to announce to you tonight that you are a church at war. Don't behave like Poland in 1939, that the enemy is coming with tanker and you horses. Wake up and see that, look, we are at war. The gates of hell have opened and encamped at our gates. The only nice thing is that you should know that with small force, they have to move. Because the scripture says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That doesn't give you license to relax. But it means that if you shake yourself a little, am I talking to somebody tonight? If you shake yourself a little, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. I remember that when I came to ADRC and I started working in the church was already there. There was a physical structure there. But the church wasn't, we were there. Then we started to expand the church. As soon as we started to expand, certain kinds of demons started to come around. Yes. 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 I remember it very well. Then, after we expanded the bottom of the church, we didn't finish the office. And there was a break for about 7 or 8 years, probably 8 or 9 years. As soon as we picked it up again, they resurfaced. Yeah. Why? Because building is war. Are you there? Yeah. All kinds of war. So let's take a look in Joshua chapter 2. What can we learn from the book of Joshua? I think tell your neighbor, the lessons innumerable. Innumerable lessons. So we're just gonna look at a few, but I pray that you will take the time to read through the book of Joshua and let it speak to you. Amen. Joshua chapter 2. Let's start with verse 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 straight to verse 6, and then we'll start to break it up. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." Are you there? And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for thou shalt overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor. Enlarge into war mode. Hallelujah. You see, let us go to verse 1. In verse 1, we are told that Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly. Go view the land, even Jericho. I have to tell you something. By sending those 2 spies into Jericho, Joshua had initiated the war. Just as you have initiated it by casting a stone there to build. Are you there? He had initiated a war. And it was important. It was a declaration of war. Are you there? It was a declaration of war. You see, you can be wishing many things, but until you physically set your boots there, you've not said much. Just like some of you, when you are sent to do outreach, you don't go. You can be walking around. Yeah, you can be walking around. But you've not done much. You see, you will notice that even in war, they will fly the planes and drop the bombs. But a time comes when boots have to hit the ground. They must send physical men in. Are you getting me? Now, in this particular case, he sent them in because he wants to know what is going on in there. Very important. Very, very, very important. Are you there? You see, tonight we're talking about war. If talking about war makes you uncomfortable, maybe you have to leave, because that's all we're talking about tonight. That's all we are discussing tonight. And I need to tell you that Israel is at war again. Israel is at war again now. And they bombarded and bombarded and bombarded. And after bombarding, they sent foot soldiers in there. And it was when they sent foot soldiers in there that they started to bring hostages out. Are you in the church? Hey, you are very quiet. What was happening in the air was not enough. And they are repeating it in Lebanon right now. Yes. Yes, they're repeating it. The first thing that they did in Lebanon, people were walking around normally. And the people were carrying pagers. You know what a pager is? Before the advent of mobile phones, pagers were very important. Were more popular. I think today it's mainly the hospitals that use them. You are paging somebody. You are sending him a message. We need you. As they got the message and they... So I suppose the message will come in that window. So as they saw, as they felt whatever, and they picked up the pager to read the message, it went off. It was a bomb. And most of those who were injured have lost their sight. Some have lost use of a hand and all that. You see, this is Israel working around the corners. Are you there? The following day, the people are not yet recovered. And this is a fight against Hezbollah, not Hamas. They're fighting Hezbollah. The following day, it was not pagers. It was now those with walkie-talkies. You have a walkie-talkie. The walkie-talkie does like something, something. You pick it to respond. You press and pa. When they finished, that one too, they've gone in over the air. And they are currently bombing Lebanon. Are you in the church? However, today, the news said that they are preparing the foot soldiers. Yes. For all the air bombardment that you do, the foot soldiers have got to go. You are building your church wherever you are building it. You are praying your prayer bombs over whatever you are praying. You are shelling the enemy over there. But when you are done, you're going to have to take your feet and you're going to have to walk into that area. You're going to have to do your prayer walking in that area. You're going to have to do your outreaching in that area, because it's not enough to work it over in the air. Joshua knew it. Amen. Are you there? Notice that these guys who he sent, he didn't send them out to fight. He sent them to go and get intelligence. And the reason why the reason why he sent them was, go and take a look. Go and take a look. And when you have taken the look, Charlie, then you do the job. Right now, what is in the place where your church is? Do you know? Lady LP, you're welcome. That's my pastor's wife from Chito. Beautiful. Are you in the church or you have traveled? Yeah. What are your ground troops doing? Do you have spies in the area yet? Hey, the church has become very quiet. A couple of years ago, one of our major bishops was sent out of his cathedral. My father, he can't do things so. Hey. This is the third time he's doing it. He's done it again. The first time he got up, and all the major bishops in their large churches, everybody, go out and look for land. So they went to look for land and they built. Now, one of these guys is a very close friend. My husband is friends with them, but one of them is a very particular close friend. And he was sent somewhere. And he went there. And he built another cathedral, a very nice one. Are you there? So we're watching to see how his first Sunday will be. Because some of you, if we send you like that, you will command your church here to follow you. We don't do it like that. We don't do it like that. And I'm sure that when your pastor is moving, he may ask some of you to remain. I don't know what he plans, but I'm just saying. Anyway, he had warned people, nobody should follow me. No, I'm not taking you. Are you there? Well, the day, D-Day came. Tell anybody D-Day came. And we're watching. Wanted to see what will happen. opened my Facebook. I said, ah, the church is full. I said, what is that? I said, what are you thinking about, Bishop? What? Who? Do you want to know why his church was full? You want to know how his church was full? Really? While they were building, ground troops were on the floor. Foot soldiers were in the area. And the foot soldiers had already created the, we call them basantes. You call them cells or what? Yes. Hundreds of little cells all over the place. And then one day they were told, your church is ready. Let's go. That's all. That was it. They have arrived. Foot soldiers. Hallelujah. Amen. So important for you to know. Now, let's continue. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither. You see, that's why I'm telling you that this thing here, they are watching you already. You see. Who told the king? You should see that the king also had his people. Yeah. There came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. You see, as soon as he heard this, he knew that there was trouble. He knew that the presence of those enemies spelled doom. Don't make a mistake at all. Are you with me? There are some people who are your members. They are not here. Because the church is here. As soon as you move it. Yeah. So, he also decided he was going to do a few things. And that's why he sent the people to go and look for the spies. Are you with me? Now, you need to understand that in any situation that we are in, the spies and the conspirators are real. There are people with you who are not of you. And they are not even really with you. Are you there? And it is important that you should seek them out. You should find out who they are. Don't think for a moment that they are not there. Hey, push your neighbor and say, neighbor, it is you. Do you remember when Jesus was sitting at the table with the... Do you remember? And he said, one of you is against me. And then they were asking, is it you? Is it who is it? Is it you? Judas was there. And he was asking some. I'm sure he leaned over. He was asking. Was asking back, is it you? So let me give you a couple of ways how to seek out enemy agents. Are you at war or you are not at war? Then learn the lessons well. How to seek out enemy agents. Point number one, the teaching on loyalty. The teaching on loyalty. It's a teaching to fight conspirators and disloyal people. To fight against those who forget. To fight against those who pretend. To fight against those who leave you. To fight against those who are offended. To fight against those who are mad. Are you there? It's a teaching. Amen. And I need to tell you that conspirators really hate it. They really hate it. They really hate the teaching. So teach. It will expose the enemies. It will expose the enemies. Are you there? You see, because some of you, when your pastor teaches you, you don't say the same thing at your cell level. Because you, dear, you are nice. You want to be thought of as being very nice. The instance that our pastor is saying, we don't like such transmission specific. What is that? We're all one happy family over here. What is it? You know, it is a war. It is a war. You don't know anything that is going on. So you just believe that it is a war. And teach the teaching and you will see what will come up. Yes, you will see it. Are you there? Test number two. We are looking for enemy agents. You see, the agents are people who will not help us at this time when we are in war. Are you here? Because you need to ask yourself, how did Israel know that Hezbollah uses pagers and not mobile phones? How did they know? There's somebody there who told them. And how did they know that apart from pagers, they also use walkie-talkies? How did they know? somebody there who told them. Satan also has his agents among us, and believe me that they are in the church. Hey. Are you there? Mm. Another way to find the enemies amongst us is to move people around in the church. So head of choir, go and become head of ushers. Head of ushers, go and become head of follow-up. Head of this, go and move to this place. You move there, move there, move there. When you are moved, it is normal to cry small. It's normal because you are a human being. But after crying small, you dry your eyes and you get to work. Yeah, but if you are one of them, we'll see something else. Yeah. If you're a conspirator, that's when we'll get a message from you. I'm decided to resign from your organization. Take your church. What? Are you the only church in town? Are you the only people? When, where were you when I was building this thing from scratch? The church has become very quiet. You see, I am sharing it from here, and I'm deliberately not sharing it to just this message. I should have just called Pastor Wisdom, his assistant lady, Pastor Linda. Just share. No, no, no. You should hear it so that perchance you are not an enemy. You should know how to respond. Respond properly. Yeah. Are you there? Mm. Respond properly, you see. Because when you transfer people, one of our most major orangus in 2021 was exposed by a transfer. Yes. It was a transfer that made the thing come out well. The signs had been there, small, 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 small. But it was a transfer, move from here to here. Then the thing came out with teeth. You didn't know some demons have teeth. Yes. Yeah. So when you try, you see, when you move people, what happens is that you break the conspiracies. And what I'm sharing with you is nothing odd. Many top businesses do it often. Yeah, one of my guys, he works for a cement company. Oh, goodness gracious. They transfer the people as if they don't have families. Yes, because they can recognize that if we leave these people here for a long time, they will corruption. So they will conspire and they will have people who are... So everyone and they have... And you never know when it's coming. He went to work one Friday. They told him, by Monday, you're out of here. Are you seeing it? A reshuffle. That's why they reshuffle governments. That's why, because as you move people around, the conspiracies are broken. That's why they don't want husband and wife working in the same financial institution. Ah! We can easily conspire how we'll take some of the money and nobody will see. Yeah. Yeah. Collapse the church. So sometimes we'll make them work in different branches, or they'll tell you that, no, only one of you can work here. One of you must resign. Yes, there's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason. So that is why in the church too, you cannot become too comfortable. Move you, move you, move you. And you see that all the people who are loyal, at least in our system, those who are loyal, Charlie, the movements can be very wild though. Can be very, very wild. But you see that they just move. When they get there, they flow. We were just going to greet Bishop Dago. Just greetings. Our son had come from Madagascar. Our first son had come. He had been in Madagascar for like 3 years. And we're just going to greet him. It was around Christmas time. Daddy, we have missed you. How are you doing? Something, something. We talked. We laughed. A very nice meeting. In the middle of the nice meeting, then he turns to my son and says that, oh, what do you know about the town Majanga? And then my son says, oh, northern Madagascar. I say, yeah, he says it's a town. Then daddy says, move. No letter.
No letter. No text message.
Your last transfer, did you get a letter?
No.
Did you get a what? Some of you want us to bow down and worship. To move you. Just the, we have not even moved you to another place. In the same... It's the same region, same church. We are just moving you from... Please give me one... Give me an example of a department. Ushering to choir. No, you bow. From one... one MC to the other MC. No, you bow. What is that? Ask anyone, what is that? What is that? You see, it is a sign. It's a sign to you. It's a sign to you of who you are working for. It's a signal. It's a sign to you. It's a sign to you. Are you there? It's a sign. Me, I was a very happy pastor in my church. I'm a pastor. I was looking after my sheep. Hey, my father just came one of the days that I should go and do books. I didn't even understand the job. But, okay, if daddy says, hey, doctors from Bando, Charlie, and people from, it's nice to see you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Doc, there's a seat for you here. Please relocate yourself, doctor. Wow. Are you in the church or you have traveled? Beautiful. Ask your neighbor, can you be moved? What did your neighbor say? Some people, even the way you have tied your face as I'm asking the question. The way you have tied your face cries a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So transfer people, move people. And let's see. Let's see whether you can take the movement. Let's see. Yeah, but me, I like where I am. And I, this what? This is your gift. How do you know there are no other gifts? How do you know? Yeah. And you see, there are people who just hate change. Yeah, any form of change. Yeah, they just dislike change. But sometimes, as you move, you will now discover things you never knew. Amen. We are talking about how to discover the enemies. Number one, I said, teach on loyalty. Number two, move people around. Number three, see what you saw. Yeah, see what you saw. You see, many times we like ourselves in the church. So when you are seeing a sign of something that is not correct, you try to say it was not like that. Yeah. It's like, I'm sure there was a reason. Yeah. You explain it away. Don't explain it away. See what you saw. We come for a meeting. Every time we come for the meeting, you have squeezed your face. Every day your face is squeezed. You're always late. Every time we have it. And you have a reason why you are late. Every time you are late. There is a reason. See what you saw. There is a reason. Hey. Charlie. That's your complaint. Every day your work. I remember asking somebody, you think you are the only educated person here? Are you in the house? Those of you in front, sit down. You are smiling, but I can see frown faces at the back. I want to assume that, you are new, so I won't blast you too much. You are new. I will only tell you that when you come into church, you must learn how to behave in church. Paul said that you might know how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God. In the house of God, it is not meet that you should bring the face you use to fight your neighbor to the church. Why? When we look at you, Noah, we cannot preach again. Please, if you are a sheep, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to leaders and shepherds. If you are a sheep, I think if you are a sheep, you lost your way. You lost your way. When I'm in my church, Charlie, if you are a sheep, I don't have anything to say, but you are a leader. You are trying to face me. No. Oh, boom. It will not work. Are you there? So see what you saw. And sometimes you are there, you see people, they are standing, chatting happily. As soon as you come, silence, quietness. Charlie! Tell neighbor, it's a sign. It's a conspiracy. It's a sign. It's a sign. It is a sign. And you may think that we are being some way, but I tell you, we are at war. You see, if you do not recognize the signs, they'll take you by surprise. Are you in the church? It'll take you by surprise. Our church has been in a situation where we have had people close to the top who were not with us. And by the grace of God, we found them one by one. You will make a misstep, by all means. By all means, you will miss your step. Remember, we are at war. Or you don't remember that you are at war. And Prince, so are we supposed to be going around suspecting each other? You'll be asking me questions. Me, I'm very quiet by nature, but something makes you laugh. Only that something is not in the church. Something makes you shout. Only that something is not God. Amen. Eh? Hallelujah. Are you in the house or you have traveled? Beautiful. Let us continue. We are continuing. I told you that my message is short today, but it's important. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some common mistakes in warfare. Common mistakes. The first and probably most common mistake is to underestimate your enemy. Yeah. Underestimating your enemy. You need to see that your enemy is looking for a way to kill you. You need to see it. Hello? In the church, our principal enemy is Satan. Now, when you are in the church, he is working with just one thing in mind. And that thing in his mind is how to finish you. Many times we think that his only work is to make you fornicate or make you drink yourself drunk. I promise you, those are minor things. Minor things. His aim is to bomb you out of the church. He does not get tired and he never stops. When Jesus was going through the temptation, the account that you see of that season in Jesus' life, in Matthew chapter 4, it tells you that after the third trial, he went away. But it is in the book of Luke, also Luke 4, that it tells us that he left him for a while. Oh, Kwaba. Oh, Kwaba. His aim, as you are here in Love Economy Hall, is to bomb you out of this church. And he's not going to stop. He will not stop even if you put a mitre on your head and call yourself bishop. He won't stop if you say you are the Pope. He's not going to stop. Don't underestimate him. Are you there? You see, I need to say it over and over because I see Christians who make decisions that lead them into perdition. So, yeah, you are here. I don't know if you are a student or a worker. I don't mind, whichever. But something brought you here. So let's take this, the typical situation where you are here as a student. Someone should wake that guy up before I give him a knock. So, you are a student. Then by the grace of God, you are led here. When you come here, it is your duty to stay. Because many of you think that, or I have found many who think that, oh, I'm only here for my school days. For a season. Maybe. Then they leave. But I need you to go and take a look at those who have left. Go and look and see. 3 years down the line, they're not even in church. Would you not have been better off? That means that was a false move. Exactly. Hey, the church has become quiet. They are saying it because you want us to stay. Hey, let me tell you something. Go, the church will still be full. Oh. What are you talking about? One time, the pressure in my church at a point, it was so strong, I got one pastor and her 300 people. I threw them out. The church is still full. Yes, she has 300 people. I said, girl, Over there, find a place, find a place. She came back, oh, something, mommy, we can't find a place. I said, then you will be churchless. But you ain't coming back here. I need the space. So you and your people, go. 300 people have left. Now we can say, when you go out, what will happen to us? Don't bring yourself. Don't let me start talking as if I'm in my home church. Hey! Are you in the house? Hey, you people. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? So don't give yourself false airs. We love our people and we're happy that you are with us. But I'm trying to say to you that if you leave, apart from that small gap, we are moving on. We are moving on. You know, when you think you are very important, let me give you a test. When you get home, fetch a bucket of water. Take your hand like this. Fill it to the brim. Put your hand inside. The water that's displaced, that's how much you will matter when you are gone. It's nothing. We are nothing, though. We are nothing. If you fetch a bucket of water, you put your hand. How much water will be displaced? Nothing that will even miss. The bucket will still be full. Hey. Please, push your neighbor and say, let us have a correct idea of who we are. Yeah. So when we are talking to you, and when we are saying to you, you see, like I keep on telling people, listen, if you want to leave, just tell me that I believe that the Lord has asked me to go here. I won't have any problem with you. I'm being led to. It's not a problem at all. At all. No problem. But don't just get up and say, I am going, because there is an enemy whose aim is to bomb you out. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. Are you there? He is fighting to kill. And that is why so many of the people you knew as Christians 10 years ago, if you see them today, many do not even go to church. Many don't even go to church. Many don't even pray. And if they pray at all, it's only about their problems. Yes. Yes. Many people get wake up and say, I pray, pa. It's not that they pray, pa. They have problems, pa. So it's the problems that you are sorting out. Today you are praying for the problem that your husband is. Tomorrow you are praying for the problem that your first son is. Don't bring yourself at all. Amen. But you see, so I need to say it because I noticed that many believers underestimate the devil. I said his plan is to bomb you out. He wants to remove you from the seat that you are sitting on. Each one of us has a room. If you are a member of Love Economy, there is a place for you here. That's your place. He has also written a commission that I must bomb you out of that place. And he will use anything. Job, money, what? Marriage, anything. Anything. You are a girl, you say that you are called. And it's clear that there's a calling of God on your life. Then this two-legged guy has come from somewhere. Two-legged guy. Recently, one of my young ladies asked me that. So, if she agrees to marry a certain guy from a certain church, what will happen to her? And I said, what will happen is what you think will happen. You are here. You are somebody who is anointed. You're a pastor working in church. You want to follow somebody to a church where women don't even do anything. What's going to happen to you? Is it not obvious? So what you see is what you saw. They are not going to write they will not rewrite the church's history or their way of working because of you. What you see is what you saw. Yes. Yes. Are you there? So, Pastor, are you saying that we'll be here forever? If I knew who you were, the slap I'll give you, and you will not recover. You will not recover. Who is anywhere forever? Who is anywhere? But for as long as God has not spoken, or your man of God has not spoken, that's where you are. That's all. That's where you are. Just stable. Just be there. Just be there. Are you in the house or not? Yeah. I tell you, Satan wants to bomb you out. I would have asked a certain question, but I don't want to ask it. I would have asked the question that how many of you have ever thought of leaving the church before? And you will see that. Please, can I? How many of us have thought before? My hand is up. Yeah, yeah. Can you see the hands that are up? Can you see? Yeah. What does it mean? What does it mean? It simply means that Satan has visited us before. That's all it means. That's all it means. The devil is at work. Hey, Pastor Wisdom, one day I was there. I don't know what had happened, but I was so tired. You see, there's a certain tiredness that brings depression with it. Doctor, am I? Yeah. So I was so tired. I found myself, Charlie, I've also done my part. It's okay. My classmates cried. This time they have retired. It's all right. My three children are ready. I've dashed them to you. What again? I think I should just call daddy and tell him that, daddy, I should call him and tell him that, Charlie, I've done my best. Right now, dear, please let me rest. Then something just occurred to me. I don't know where the thought came from that this voice, this one, is the devil speaking. Do you know that it was immediately after that, that for the first time in my life, I was invited to preach somewhere internationally? Usually when I'm going international, it's my books were taking me. This time, not that my books were, no. I was invited that they have bought me business class tickets. Me, I'm glad that I'm standing here. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I said, hey. This is what he just wanted to bomb me. After that, various things began to happen in my ministry. I said, hey. He would have thrown me out. When I got to the place, it wasn't just pastors of a church. Their whole nation. They had gathered. Hey. I said, hey. Really? So he's just trying to unseat you from where you are. And I am telling you that he never stops. He never stops. Amen. So don't underestimate him. He'll come and give you a broken heart. Then, when your heart is broken, you'll say that, look, when I see the girl, I cannot. So because of that, I'm changing church. He has bombed you out. He has bombed you. He has bombed you out. You don't want to see the girl. Let's just go to another branch. Go and talk to your pastor. He'll sort you out. You don't have to see her. You don't have to see her. Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. He will give you a certain mind. When I see the guy and I see him hugging the other sisters, then my heart, Charlie, as if I'm dying. I can't. Come to your pastor. Tell your pastor that, pastor, do you know my heart? Oh, your pastor will sort you out right now. Your pastor says, see her as a tree. Yeah. They have given me scripture. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't underestimate him, oh. You see, it is not, you are not worshiping him. I'm saying don't underestimate him. Sometime in 2010, we received a message to move. Transfer had come, yes. Had not, if it was even text message. My husband first got a phone call. And the phone call was, have you ever thought about Kumasi? And he said, oh no. Then he realized what was being, I said, please, I'm thinking now. After that, then the text message came. Move to Kumasi. We had been in the same place for 15 years, and honestly, we really liked the place and we're comfortable. But when the news came to move, no problem, we'll move. So the thought was to move. I started, my husband was away, you know, a lot of meetings and so forth. Oh, bring the things, let's start packing. Then one day, tell your neighbor one day.
One day.
Hey, I don't even remember what started the thoughts. But, hey, as you are leaving here, you're going to come and say, who do you know there? What are you going to do over there? Hey, this place, look, by the end of that evening, I was miserable. Somebody who had heard the news, I was packing, I was telling people, Charlie, we are moving. The next morning, my husband called as usual. And I told him that, Charlie, as I'm sitting here, I'm very unhappy. My husband, if you know him, he's a very gentle person. Very, very, he doesn't speak in a certain way. But that day, he just said to me on the phone, Satan has visited you. Yeah. That's all he said. Satan has visited you. Then we had to end the call. When we ended the call, I said, my first reaction, you see, ladies, we also have our reaction. I'm telling you, my heart matter. You also console me. But you know, within 5 minutes, I said, no, he's saying something new. Hey, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Get out of here. That was all. That was all. That was an attempt to bomb me out. You'll be here, be giving into your tears and your whatever feelings, and you follow your feelings, Satan will bomb you out. Hey, please tell your neighbor, we don't follow feelings to follow God. If I was following feelings, I won't be here tonight. I can promise you. Hey, I won't be here at all. Yeah. Are you there? We don't follow feelings. That's why when your pastor speaks, you assume that God is speaking to you through a man, because that's how he's always spoken to us. Wow. Don't underestimate your enemy. Don't underestimate him. Those of you who have children, don't underestimate him. Yeah. Recently, I had to alert a pastor couple in my church. I said, listen, this sickness, you know, every day. I said, have you not noticed it strikes you on Saturday only? Saturday into Sunday. Yeah. The woman got pregnant, no problem. Monday to Friday, she's well, she's at work. Saturday, came, she's sick. Sunday morning, hospital. A vibrant, very hard-working lady pastor. So I just drew the picture for she and her to say, hey! We have seen him. Another couple, it wasn't the woman, it was the children. They'll be sick as in do re mi. Do. Hey. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Just like that. So I don't know if you have seen sickness in series before. I said, people, no. This thing, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And I'm talking to somebody tonight. Your thinking is wrong. Yeah, your thinking is wrong. You think it's normal. It's normal thinking. It's not normal. For a child of God, it is not normal. We don't just go where we want to go. Are you in the church or you have quarreled? Mark chapter 3, please sit down. Mercy. Don't underestimate your enemy. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. I want to ask you if the activity of the Pharisees makes sense. How is it that the healing makes you so angry you are going to plot to kill the person? You should see that it is not normal. But that is the enemy that we have. That's what I want you to see. That the actions are not even normal. And you will find out that people who have been taken care of and been helped, suddenly you see that, hey, you rather are saying things. Yeah. Are you in the church? One of the guys who was writing many things against Bishop Dag, that guy is alive because of him. Yeah. Physically alive because of him. He has forgotten. He was not well, and what he needed, he couldn't afford it. And it was prophet who found it out and sorted him out. He's forgotten. Then you stand there, then you are saying, yeah, it's not normal. You should see that the devil is at work. Are you in the church? We're talking about common mistakes. The second mistake is to join the fifth column in the church. The second mistake is to join the fifth column. I'll explain the fifth column. The devil is not able to fight us from outside. Not much. He won't get far. So what he does is to fight from inside. The people who spread stories. The people who say things. Are you in the house? They are the ones who spoil the house. And they spoil by talking. If you are here and you are one of those people who say, this church, I don't know what they are doing. That you are there. You are one of them. Because you don't see yourself as part. So you don't see what they are doing. They are doing. Are you in the house? I read. I'm reading from Bishop Dagg's book on loyalty and disloyalty. I recall reading the story of an army general who surrounded a large city with the aim of conquering it. The city was heavily fortified with a high and imposing wall and gate. The army general surrounded the city in readiness to attack. One friend of the general came along and asked him, "Sir, how do you think you're going to overcome the defenses of this city? No one in recent history has been able to conquer this great city." The army general smiled and said, "It's my fifth column. I'm depending on them to do the trick." The general's friend was very interested and asked, "What is this fifth column? I thought you had four columns." The army general replied, "I have a fifth column." Then the friend was asking, who they are. The general said, "My fifth column consists of my spies, agents, friends, and supporters who are already within the city. You just wait. They will open those big doors from inside and my armies will rush in." Are you seeing it? And believe me that they work. There was a day when a certain story came up in the Daily Graphic. I forget now how many years ago. It's a long time ago. The story said that an elder in a certain church had come to, I don't know why he went to Graphic anyway, but Graphic carried the story, to say that the church he was in exports dollars in fertilizer sacks and takes them to their headquarters in Nigeria. Now, this story came from an insider. And since he was an insider, people believed it. You see, there's no way Graphic, you know, when they are talking about all these things, Graphic doesn't publish them. Are you in the house? Graphic doesn't publish those stories. Now, that guy was a member of that church. And that was why what he said brought a lot of issues up. Are you there? Now, you can stand and say, "Hey, but they shouldn't do that." Or you can say that it's none of his business. Are you there? That's your house. If your father is doing something that is wrong, what are you going to do? You see, years have passed. All those who were part of that rebellion of that church, it hasn't gone well with them. It hasn't gone well with any of them at all. And the church is still standing. The church is very quiet. That is the fifth column. Whatever you say, there is no perfect church anywhere. I normally tell the people that, do you know why the church is not perfect? You want to know why it's not perfect? Because you are inside. Yeah, you are inside. It's made up, the church is made up of human beings and we are all fallible. And because of that, mistakes can be made. But the fact that a mistake is made doesn't give any of us the right to go outside with it. I hope you get the point. That's the fifth column. And some of you, when you are talking to your friends, people are standing there, you just talk. Yeah. Hey! Ask your neighbor, are you one of them? So that's the second mistake, to underestimate the fifth column or to be a member of the fifth column. Because there are some people who don't even realize what they are doing. When Absalom was going to fight his father, the Bible says that 200 men joined him. They followed him in the simplicity of their minds. They didn't know that they were going to fight the king. They just felt that Absalom would be a nice king and a nice replacement for the old king. Before they were aware, do you think that if Absalom died, do you think they survived? I'm asking you a question. You see, Proverbs 22 verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Hallelujah. If you find yourself here tonight, you must make the decision that this is my home and this is the place I belong to. Anything that's going on here, it stays here. Yeah, but why? Are we in a secret society? Is your family a secret society? Do you come and tell us that your little brother pees on himself at night at the age of 19? Do you come and tell us? Do you come and tell us that your father has got 4 different women with 5 different children? Do you come and tell us that your mother has 5 children and each one of them has a different husband? Don't bring yourself and tell me that we are a cult. Tell our neighbor that we are a family. That's who we are. Yeah. We are a family. You see, and it's important to say it because as you have picked up, I told you, as soon as you put down one block of cement that you are building, you declared war. Yeah. Hey. The Bible says what? The gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of Judges, chapter 16. I've finished preaching. I'll be sitting down very soon. I want to read something for you because I can see that as I'm saying that you shouldn't underestimate your enemy. Some of you are not understanding it well. So we're going to read a long passage from Judges 16. Judges, the book, this part of the story is about a judge who was called Samson. This is somebody whose birth cry was miraculous. His mother received instructions what she should do, not do, since she was carrying him, etc., etc. Are you in the house? So in Judges 16, it says, Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the 2 posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder. And carried them to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that are not never dried, then will I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto them, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withs as thread of tow is broken when it toucheth fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him and said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from off his arms like thread. Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said to him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said to him, how canst thou say thou lovest? How can thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees and called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. One of the saddest stories in the Bible. But you see, here is what we are talking about. We are dealing with an enemy who does not give up. That's the point I wanted you to see. This story shows you some of the points that we have been raising. The guy underestimated his enemy. He had grown up with this his long hair. He did what he wanted. Going to sleep with a prostitute at the beginning of the chapter was not the first time he had done it. He liked women, and for some reason it was always women from the enemy's camp. His parents even asked him, Judges 14, they asked him, why don't you just find somebody from here? They said, please, this is what I want. Okay. Yes. So he was always, some of you, as we talk to you, always say that I'm looking for something somewhere, looking for somebody somewhere. Yes. Hey, the guys in the church are like this. The girls in the church are like that. Be careful. Be careful. Yeah. Because this was Samson. And we are even shown, you see, he flirted with the devil. When he went to sleep with this prostitute, the people were waiting for him that in the morning they'll kill him. He just got up at midnight. The gate was locked. He pulled out everything, carried it and went. He said, I can do what I want to do. And there are some of us in the house of God like that. And then finally, he met Delilah. Are you there? He met who? He met Delilah. You should never underestimate the devil. You see, I'm just looking for something I want to read to you. Let's go to verse 5. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. In verse 4, we are told that he loved a woman whose name was Delilah. You see, you can love something. Delilah was actually something that was going to entice the man. Some of us were enticed by money. And so he'll just bring you a good job. It will entice you. Yeah. Yeah, some dollars. Some people cry, it's not even dollars, it's cities. Just that's a lot. And it's like, let's see where his strength is. Find out where his strength is. The guy felt that because I'm physically strong, I'm okay. But look at the work of Delilah. See how she pursued the man. That's why I told you that the enemy doesn't go away. You see, the story, as we read, does it make sense to you? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Every time he said, if you do this, she did it. So he should have seen that. She should have seen that the woman didn't mean him any good. You and I are reading the story, so it's easy to see. But you too, have you not seen that job that they brought you? Have you not seen that guy who has entered your life? Have you not seen that that girl who entered your life, since she came, you have not been correct? The same way Samson couldn't see. That's how many times we also can't see. We can't see. He said, entice him. Don't entice him to kill him. Find where his strength is. And when you find where it is, Charlie, let us know. What do we want to do? We want to bind him and afflict him. So it's not that as you are doing, he's going to kill you off. No. So many of our people, so many, are in all kinds of bondages. When you finally see them 5 years down the line, 6 years down the line, bound in some job that doesn't even allow family to work. Depressed. Can't even go to church anymore. You were working in the church. You were fruitful in the church. Now you have become a shadow of who you formerly are. A withered branch that's just lying somewhere. Because you couldn't see. Are you there? And the girl persisted. I mean, the story is incredible to me. Yeah. She didn't hide it, though. She didn't hide it. Tell me where your great strength. Ah, goodness gracious. If even she had quoted it as something. You see, if she had quoted it, you say something. But she came and she would say that, and she kept saying that, you have not told me. The Bible says that she harassed him with her words, so the guy couldn't. Yeah. Don't underestimate the enemy. Don't underestimate him. As you are building and as you are planning to move, each one of you should begin to fight to be committed. That's your part of the warfare. Yeah, I'm going to fight to be here. I'm going to fight to be part. I'm going to fight to do my best because it's going to have implications. Every time a church moves, there are implications. One of the implications for some people is that the 2 minutes you used to walk to church will now become how many minutes? I don't know. I don't know the layout of home well enough to tell, but suddenly you are going to need transport. You say, I used to walk to church, but now that you have moved the church to this place that you have moved the church, may I have money that I can be using to go. Be serious. When you don't have money, you have been walking to other places. What stops you from walking to church? You have been walking to other places. Are you not, when you go to the boys' house and you are seeing each other of you, go, you walk this way. Then you walk together this way. Then you walk together. Then you was not walking. But now that it's church, you say, hey, because I have to spend 2 pesos, I can't go. You need to fight, oh. Push your neighbor and say, you need to fight. Do you understand how I say it's a war? It's a war. And you must be determined that I will not drop off. I will not drop out. I won't be left behind. I'm going some. I'm part of what is going on. I'm part of the new move. Whatever is going to cost, it is costing, but I'm going. Are you in the church? Hey. Push your neighbor and say, who is your Delilah? What is it that when it comes, it can bomb you? What is it? What is it? Or maybe we should say, who is it that when he or she comes, it can bomb you out? Hallelujah. Enlarge into war mode. Enlarge into war mode. I'm ending. As you are building, I'm sure you've started already, but more prayer. More prayer. We're at war. We are what? At war. We got to pray about over there without losing sight of what's going on over here. And I believe that this war, if you follow it and do it the way God wants you to do it, the answer is clear. Who is going to win the war? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet tonight. And you just want to begin to pray. Pray for a few minutes. Pray for yourself. Pray that you will not be bummed out. Pray that you will not be one of those who will be enticed to leave. Pray that you will not make a mistake somewhere on the way. That as the gates of hell has come to camp at the gates of the church, that you are going to be one of the warriors who's doing their best. Lift your voice and pray. 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 Oh, lift your voice. I cannot hear you tonight. Bosima Shandala Baba, Keri and Alaba, Son Nerebede and Alamana, Ekeri and Alaba Baba, Shondala Baba, Ekandala Basima Tandalaba, Andala Baba 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 Baba, Rima Sandala Baba, Shikoriondola Bosima Taya Baba. Oh, yes, lift up your voice and just pray that you will be preserved and pray that you'll come through this time unscathed. Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Rema sonda la baba baba baba. Me shanda la baba la baba. Ribotori anda la bateri anda la ma. Ekaya baba baba baba. Mindele bede 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 bede. Rendele bede 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 bede. Manda la baba. Shindele bede anda. Mama mama baba 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 baba. Manda la baba la baba la baba. Shindele bede. Imataya anda la baba. Oh, Kayanda, pray for the grace to survive. Pray for the grace to locate the enemy and to see him in any color in which he presents himself. Pray. Oh, Rendele bere 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 bere. Hay andala ba 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 ba. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Kendele bere 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 bere. Riba ba 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 andala ba ba la ba ba. Oh andala ba be andala mama. E andala ba sundere bere anda. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for gathering us. I pray that none of these words will fall to the ground, but that we'll be duly alerted, O God, and in warm mode, ready to meet anything that pushes against us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah.